Vacation Bible School is quickly approaching, and the theme of Vacation Bible School is the armor of God, so I thought it would be appropriate for us as a church to be on the same page leading up to Vacation Bible School and to take a look at the Word of God that Paul gives about preparing ourselves spiritually. Last week, we did an introduction, looked at the first few verses of this passage in Ephesians 6, and we saw there that spiritual warfare is something that is very real. In other words, Satan exists, and his goal is to disrupt our faith. And how do we battle against that? We're not able to battle against something so powerful by ourselves. So God gives to us a gift, gives us the spiritual armor. And it's so that we can be strong in the Lord, giving that emphasis that it's our strength is in the Lord, and that we'll be able to stand up against the schemes of the devil, and we'll be able to stand firm, have great resolve in our faith, and to move forward. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're looking at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. And then our focus today is verse 14. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So today our focus is on verse 14. We look at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. So we have to ask the question as we begin this list of armor that we're to put on. We come first to the belt of truth. We ask, why does Paul begin there? If I were to look at this logically, and if I wanted people to remember easily the armor, remember we talked about it was a very common experience for the people at that time to see Roman soldiers. So they got to see armor every day, and they could easily relate to these various pieces of armor. I would start with the helmet and work my way down. That would be an easy way to remember things. But Paul doesn't do that. He kind of starts in the middle with the belt of truth. And why does he do that? What is so important about this truth that he's talking about? The image is the belt. So the soldier puts on the belt, and it's the belt that protects the midsection a little bit, but it also is a place to hang the sword or other things that the soldier might need. So it's an important piece of armor. Why begin there? What is it about truth that Paul says this is our priority? Well, remember, we're standing up against the schemes of the devil. And the devil, the father of lies, Jesus calls him that in John chapter 8. So the devil is the father of lies, and he wants to distort truth. That's his avenue to get into us, is distort truth. Even if it's just a little tiny bit of truth, a little bit of a lie with a whole lot of truth. That's what Satan does. He did it even with Jesus. That's an amazing thing. He tried to tempt Jesus to sin. And we find in Matthew chapter 4 this account. It's when Jesus was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness, and he's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry. He's in a weakened condition, humanly speaking. And then Satan comes to him and tries to tempt him. And he begins with just, if you're the Son of God, you can command these stones and they'll become bread. And Jesus responds back with Scripture, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now here's where Satan begins to twist things, where he can take truth and mix in that little bit of distortion. Then the devil takes him, and he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Satan quotes Scripture to Jesus. And he says that he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So Satan is saying, here, do this. Here's what's going to happen. Here's truth. And Jesus comes back and responds, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. In other words, Satan didn't have the full word of God that he was preaching, just a little part of it that he could distort. And that's what he does with us. It might even be with parts of Scripture. Or just things happening in our culture. Just saying, these aren't that bad. Everybody else thinks they're good. After all, they were voted in. And Satan tries to get us off track. So that's why Paul says that this first piece of armor that we put on is truth. We need to be girded in truth, the whole truth, and Paul preached the whole counsel of God. He didn't just preach parts of it that made people happy, even the parts that challenge us. So we want to have that whole counsel of God, the whole truth of God, so that if distortion comes to us in any manner, we're able to understand that and we're protected. And everything here depends on trusting and serving the right Lord. See, it goes on in this. The next temptation is Satan takes him to a very high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and he says, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus says, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Put on the belt of truth, because it really matters who we're trusting and who we're serving. And Jesus says, it's only the Lord God. Only the Lord God. And so anything else that gets us off track of who God really is, not just sometimes who we might think he is, because we don't have the full truth. That's why we want to understand the whole counsel of God, all of Scripture, looking at God for who he is, who he has revealed himself to be. So this belt of truth is primary importance to us. And where do we find truth? Well, we talk about the whole counsel of God in Scripture. But there's other things where we look for truth, and our culture looks for truth, isn't there? One of those is our feelings. And we live right now in an era where feelings, for a lot of people, is their truth, period. I feel a certain way, and it might even be you've hurt my feelings, even though you really haven't done something to hurt their feelings, but their feelings are hurt because they didn't feel as encouraged or loved or supported for doing whatever they want to do. And their feelings become their truth. The problem with feelings is that they're highly subjective. It just changes from person to person or day to day. And if we're really honest about it, our feelings quite often are selfish. We have to kind of snap ourselves out of it sometimes when we're feeling a certain way. We all know when we're tired, maybe hungry, we're hurting, we've got pain, or we've got some anxiety because of what's happening in life, or just the buildup of anxiety over time, and our feelings are right on the edge. We know not to trust those, because at that time, we might kind of snap out at somebody, we're short-tempered, or we just might not be thinking as clearly, and we know we can't always trust our feelings. Or what about human knowledge? We live in an era of knowledge. There's more knowledge now than at any other time, humanly speaking, more knowledge now than any other time in history. More books written, more scientific studies done. There's just more available out there. And we live in the age of information. It's all out there on the internet. You can get it. All this knowledge. Well, it's good, a lot of it. There's some truth there. But you know, our knowledge is very limited. We don't know everything. So last week I went to the doctor dealing with some digestive issues, and you know, all they can do is run some different tests and try to eliminate things and maybe see what it might be, and yet it's limited. And so my expectation is not I'm going to go to the doctor and be cured. It's I can go with the hope they might have something there that has an answer. But it's limited. There's a lot of things we don't know. And our knowledge changes. Things that we held as truth in previous years, we know now are not true. You know, even up to being in the 1930s, 1940s, that we looked at life in a particular way. And then Albert Einstein comes along with a theory of relativity. And it expands the way we have to view the universe around us. Or there are studies that are done that 1 week they say coffee is good for you, right? And then another week or a few years later they say coffee is bad for you. Now, there's a recent study that just came out about coffee. Maybe some of you heard this on the news. But before that, I'm going to ask a question. How many of you drink your coffee black? Just totally black. There we are. Oh, two hands up. Okay, two hands up. Okay. This study said that those who drink their coffee black, yeah, have more of a tendency to be psychopaths. So take a look around and see who had their hand up. Got to be careful. I just want you to know I do cream and sugar in my coffee, so I'm safe. Until they come out with a study that says those that do cream and sugar are even worse. You know, but you know, just given enough time, they're going to come out with another study that debunks that one. It's the way our human knowledge is. It's imperfect. It's incomplete. There are some things we've got right, but some things will never get fully right. So, what do we do with this? Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, God, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." So we know that human knowledge is imperfect. We don't want to trust in that, but we can trust in God. So we turn to God. We look at what God has to say. If we come as people of faith, we just recognize, if we're looking for truth, God is the one who created everything. He knows everything. He put it all together, created us. And so God, who is perfect and good and sovereign over all things, he is truth. And so we find that with Jesus' claim in John 14. And Jesus just simply says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And then in John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples and for us. And part of that prayer, he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Doesn't want us to be removed from all the evils in the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. See, that's spiritual warfare taking place right there, keeping us from the evil one. He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. In other words, this place is not our home. We have another place that is our true home, right? And then Jesus prays this, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. So Jesus is praying for us that we would be sanctified, made holy in the truth, the supreme, ultimate truth. And then Jesus says that God's word is truth. And so we don't want just to rest on feelings. Feelings are important. We don't want to discount them. In fact, we have to have feelings to love God and to love one another. That's a feeling. But the heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah tells us in chapter 17, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So feelings are not always going to be the guide. Human knowledge, not always perfect, but God is. And so when we put on the belt of truth, what we're doing is taking the truth of God found here in this book. So as Christians, we come, we believe this. It is our book. We want to utilize it. And this is the first necessary part of armor that we put on. And then Paul says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we look at this breastplate of righteousness. We come back to this whole spiritual warfare idea. So we've got this breastplate on. And it's because Satan wants to do something with righteousness. So we're taking a look at this righteousness first. And what Satan wants to do is to cause us to question righteousness. Either for us to think that we are righteous and we're okay before God and don't need Jesus, or Satan wants us to continue to question righteousness and to say, I'm not righteous enough. I can never be righteous. God can never love me. And I've met people like that. Just feel like they're totally unlovable. God could never love them. So that's Satan. That's his schemes at work. We see Satan at work doing that in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. We have this encounter, and we have Eve is the one talking with the serpent. And the serpent, who is very crafty or subtle, says this to the woman, did God actually say to you, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Okay? You shouldn't eat of any tree. See, there is putting a doubt in her, saying, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to eat of the trees of the garden. And the exchange goes back and forth. That's a distortion because God only said, you can't eat of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the lie has already been set, and then Eve says, and we can't even touch it lest we die. God never said that. God just said, don't eat of it. And then Satan continues on and says, you know, God doesn't want you to eat that, because God knows that when you do, you will be like him and you will know good from evil. See, then you'll be righteous. You won't need God. So you're either not good enough, you're totally unrighteous, is where Satan wants you, so that you never feel that God loves you, or you feel you're righteous and you don't even need God. And Satan does it in a variety of ways with us every day. So that's part of the schemes of the devil. So we need to understand righteousness. And then we need this breastplate to protect our heart and other vital organs. You know, the armor of the breastplate is still used today by police and those in the military to protect the biggest area of a target, which holds vital organs that can kill. And so it's a very important piece of armor. And that's why it's the second one. We're very vulnerable here. And our heart, perhaps the greatest thing. So we need our heart protected against Satan. In Proverbs 4, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." We've got to protect our hearts. And the good news is that God gives us the armor to do that. This breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts against the schemes of the devil, who wants us to either think we're too righteous or not righteous enough, and not have a true understanding of the good news. And so that brings us to this question of whose righteousness is it? This breastplate of righteousness. Is it our righteousness? And the Bible tells us that we are not righteous before a holy God. And I quoted during our prayer of confession from Romans 3, which is actually then a quote from the Psalms. So Paul says, none is righteous, no, not one. And a little bit later in that passage, he says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We know that. We know that. So it can't be our righteousness that is going to be a good enough shield against Satan. Just simply can't be. But we have something that is great. It is the gift of God. And it is Christ's righteousness for us. That's what this shield is. It's the righteousness of Christ, the one who died for us, so that he could purchase our righteousness. And it comes through faith. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 3. He's looking at his life, all the things that he's done, his education, his heritage. And he says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So the things of this world don't bring us what we need. There's something far greater. It's Christ. And he says that he wants to be found in him, he says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, that is, trying to be good enough on my own, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So we want to have this same power of the resurrection that's part of the armor. So this power that comes into this shield is the righteousness of Christ. Paul says we don't have a righteousness of our own. We just simply don't. But through faith, through believing that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for us, through believing that God's goodness is there for us, and all we have to do is confess our sins and to trust in Christ and then to serve Him, just to allow Him to be our Lord. We're no longer Lord of our own lives, or we don't submit to someone else as Lord, but just simply Christ as our Lord. Brings us back to that very beginning of truth, that everything depends on trusting and serving the right Lord. So we come and we trust in Jesus Christ and His righteousness, His complete righteousness, because He was God in the flesh. He was pure. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So His righteousness is given to us, and it becomes a shield. So when Satan comes and he tries to convince us either, hey, you're pretty good, I'm okay, you're okay, or even when we're dealing with hard stuff and we begin to ask the question of, why do bad things happen to good people? We're not buying into that. We can simply say, I'm not righteous. Or when Satan comes and says, you know, you've had this sin you've been dealing with your whole life, and you haven't conquered it, God's not going to accept you. Your faith is just fake. See, those are lies. And what happens there is the righteousness of Christ is there. It's that breastplate that comes and protects us, right? We engage in spiritual warfare every day. That's what these messages are for, leading up to Vacation Bible School. But these are the things also that we want to teach children. Not just in Vacation Bible School, but we all impact children around us, whether it be our own children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, neighborhood children, to understand that there are things out there that want to keep them from the fullness of God's love. Satan's number one desire. Keep us from the love of God and the joy of God. But there is victory, and that victory is in Jesus. He has won the victory. There are battles left, but the victory is already secured. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You give to us spiritual armor. You have given to us the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And we thank You for those. Help us each day to put those on, as well as the other pieces of armor, that we might be strong and stand firm in faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.